Hello, welcome to this short service of worship for this third Sunday after Trinity. It begins with a prayer, then we have the gospel reading for the day, a reflection, some intercessions, and a blessing. We begin with a prayer. God, our Saviour, look on this wounded world in pity and in power. Hold us fast to your promises of peace, won for us by your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." Here ends the reading. Today's reading is part of the third part of Matthew's Mission Discourse, beginning in chapter 10, verse 26. This part of chapter 10 contains a collection of sayings. With the idea of mission in mind, we can see that they are about the encounters missionaries have in their societies and among their families and friends, and particularly the rewards that come to them and to those who treat them with hospitality. The basic theological principle is stated in verse 40. "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." The great American civil rights leader Martin Luther King was a person with tremendous courage. He endured vilification, beatings, imprisonments, death threats. His house was firebombed, and as we all know, he eventually was assassinated. So what kept him going? It was his strong sense of God's call upon his life. King was just 26 years old when he was appointed leader of the civil rights campaign in Montgomery, Alabama. Apart from terrifying threats from the Ku Klux Klan, King was harassed by police. Arrested for driving 5 miles above the speed limit, he was given his first stint in jail. The night after his release, he was at home when the phone rang. "Nigger," said a menacing voice on the other end, "we're tired of you and your mess now. And if you aren't out of this town in 3 days, we're going to blow your brains out and blow up your house." King was unnerved and very afraid, for himself, for his wife and for his little children. Shortly after the phone call, he sat at his kitchen table drinking a cup of coffee. "And I sat at that table," he said, "thinking about that little girl and thinking about the fact that she should be taken from me at any minute. And I started thinking about a dedicated and devoted and loyal wife who was over there asleep. And I got to the point where I couldn't take it any more. I was weak. And I discovered then that religion had to become real to me, and I had to know God for myself. And I bowed down over that cup of coffee. I'll never forget it. I said, 'Lord, I'm down here trying to do what's right. I think I'm right. I think the cause we represent is right. But Lord, I must confess that I'm weak now. I'm faltering. I'm losing my courage.' And it seemed to me at that moment that I could hear an inner voice saying to me, 'Martin Luther, stand up for righteousness, stand up for justice, stand up for truth. And lo, I will be with you even until the end of the world.' I heard the voice of Jesus saying still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone, never, never alone. He promised never to leave me. 3 nights later, the menacing threat made in the phone call came true. A bomb exploded in the front veranda of the King home. Thankfully, no one was hurt. But King was able to get through it. My religious experience a few nights before had given me strength to face it," he said. Time and again throughout his ministry, Martin Luther King returned to that experience to strengthen him as he faced terrible difficulties. It isn't easy being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Standing up for justice can make other people feel guilty and then defensive. How good, then, when people are willing to be kind and hospitable to those with a clear and sometimes sharp message. Matthew uses a number of titles for disciples in this passage: apostle, prophet, righteous one, little ones. Do these titles indicate roles within the Matthean community? If so, it shows there were different roles within Matthew's missional community. Strangely, after Jesus' long speech about mission in chapter 10, we don't hear any more about the mission itself or its outcome. Some commentators suggest Matthew's lost his focus there, but perhaps the mission goes on even today. Maybe Matthew is trying to make the point that the instructions given to the 12 apostles have a meaning for all those who take up the missionary work, even us. So we turn to the Lord in prayer. We pray for the church, for our leaders, remembering especially Bishop Viv, for all who exercise leadership in our diocese. And we think especially at this time of those who are due to be ordained and those moving on to new posts. We pray that all ministers may proclaim your holy gospel with humility and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for ourselves in our work for you, that we may live as witnesses of your grace with thankful hearts, welcoming all who follow you and hearing your word for our lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are suffering at this time, and especially for those suffering as a result of the coronavirus pandemic, for those who are isolated, for those who have fallen ill, and for those in hospitals, and for all who care for them, that they may be strengthened in their inner being and sustained by your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who have departed this life in recent times, and all those we love but see no longer, and pray that they may be restored to fullness of life in your presence, in your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our world, which needs the peace and reconciliation that comes from you, praying that neighbours may live peaceably with neighbours, and the poor, the destitute, and the hungry may receive the help they need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for this time of year, for the blessings of the season, for the food that's being produced in the fields. We pray for safety for all who travel and those who work on the land. Grant us and all for whom we pray the blessings of your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Rejoicing in our fellowship with Blessed Mary and all your saints, we offer you these prayers, Lord, trusting in your love for us and for all that you have made, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We conclude with a blessing. May God the Father endow us with the Holy Spirit of truth. May our speech and way of life point to the words and actions of Jesus our Saviour. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.